exposing the hate and exploring the love. This is the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
Hola, this is Sienna Leia, inviting you to join me tonight as we navigate through the seen and the unseen, explore external and internal realities, expose on-world and off-world agendas, discover a path to joy and freedom. Now, join me as we illuminate the Shadowland and reclaim our birthright as free and sovereign beings. Good evening, everyone. This is Sienna Leia with Illuminating the Shadowland on Truth Frequency Radio Network. And I am here with part two of Blinded by the Light No Longer with Cameron Day. Good evening, Cameron.
Hi there, Sienna. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, it is my honor. For any of you that missed part one, I strongly encourage you to go to Archives or the Sienna Leia YouTube channel and listen, because we are going to be moving into solution in this hour, and you really do need the overview of everything that was just spoken. So please go to the archives. You just click on Radio Archives, Truth Frequency Radio Network, and you go to Illuminate the Shadowland, download the show, and it'll be there. Last week's show, episode 19. Okay, Cameron, we were talking about solution. I'm also thinking about Halloween. I want to get the Halloween story in here before we dive into all this. Does it interface at all? It was so cool.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a non sequitur, but it's okay. We'll put that in there real quick. So I sent out an email to my mailing list. On Halloween, actually, that pretty much starting around 10 days before Halloween, there was a massive amount of psychic attacks occurring on people who were working towards bringing in the true organic light, people who have been working on dispelling the illusion of the false duality of the demiurgic light and dark teams, who recruit beings that they call light workers to participate in their mock battles in order to drain their energy. And so these psychic attacks were pretty much the worst I've ever seen around a Halloween period. Now, the reason for Halloween, All Hallows Eve, is that during this period, the veils between dimensions are thinner. And the people who are living a more, let's say, natural and indigenous type of life, they understood that these beings were coming in and trying to interfere with them. So they would dress up as something that they hoped would scare away these beings. So they were trying to be scarier than the monsters, so to speak, scarier than the demons, to scare them off. Now, unfortunately, what has occurred is a complete reversal of that entire process. First of all, people are kept ignorant of the fact that these beings even exist, and they simply are encouraged to volunteer to be possessed or to have entity attachment occur. And the way that this occurs is through inflicting fear on your own mind by watching horror movies or going to haunted houses, and also to agree on some level to a form of entity possession by embodying a demon type spirit or a devil by dressing up as one, dressing up as a ghost or a devil or some kind of witch or other type of monster. Because the original awareness isn't there, what ends up happening is a form of agreement where the person agrees to embody that type of a being, therefore becoming mildly possessed, maybe for a short time, or another way of calling possession is simply entity attachment, to having an energetic conduit between you and some of these beings.
Okay. It's my understanding that apart from Halloween, to a greater or lesser extent, this is happening all day long with many, many, many of us, if not all of us, at some times in our life to greater or lesser extents. That the, is that not the case?
That is very much the case, yes. They use various agreements. They get us to agree to support their system. They get us to agree to externalize our power to the false light team, right? People that are giving their power away to angels and ascended masters within the New Age movement, or angels within organized religion as well. The idea of the angry, wrathful, punishing God, Yahweh or Jehovah, that people even worship such a psychopath is kind of amazing. You know, this supposedly loving God who yet told his people to slaughter pretty much indiscriminately wherever they went, while at the same time giving them a commandment not to kill, who then says, if you don't follow my rules, you don't get to come and live with me in heaven. You will instead be tortured for all of eternity. Now, that is the thought process of a psychopath. This is a psychopathic being, Yahweh, Jehovah, whatever you want to call him. So the agreements that we make on all sorts of levels are the underpinning of the control matrix. And so finding those agreements and removing them, rendering them null and void, dispelling them, is a vital part of the process of gaining liberation, of reclaiming our sovereignty.
How do we do that would be the next logical question.
Absolutely. So we're going to actually go through several stages. Now, on my website, I have the first level of the self-clearing system. It's divided up into multiple parts altogether. It's a little over an hour to go through the recordings. And the first step is the connection to your higher self. Now, when we first extend ourselves into this world as babies and children, we are embodying our true self. It exists within our heart, and we are plugged in to this infinite energy source that is our greater being. This is why children have seemingly unlimited energy, right? Adults wonder where they get it from. Well, they get it from themselves. They get it from their true self. And its proper home, its proper place of residence is within the heart center. Sometime during late childhood and moving into puberty, the conditioning of culture, society, religion, parents, politics, on and on and on, convinces the child that they are not a divine being, convinces the child that they are simply just this human body, this tiny little vulnerable body, convinces them that they have to submit to authority, that they cannot make any decisions for themselves, that they must do what they are told by all authority figures at all times, that they must submit, that they must sit down, shut up, and behave. And throughout this process, what occurs is that life force, that true inner self, obliges the beliefs that the child is taking on and decouples from the body. Now, it doesn't go very far. It stays hovering above that child. It stays hovering above the individual. But this is why we even have the concept of the higher self.
Wow.
Is due to this decoupling process that happens because of our beliefs that we have been inculcated with from childhood.
Whoa.
Yeah. So in the higher self meditation, the first thing we do is we connect to that greater self. As symbolized by a big, beautiful ball of light floating above your head. And then we bring that light back down into the body where it belongs. And so the people, I've had people criticize me for bringing in a seemingly external source of light, but I don't think they finished the meditation, because at the end of the meditation, I don't go into this level of detail with the explanation, which I probably should have. Of course, I made that several years ago and was making it on a deadline. I had a time frame to get all those videos produced. So at the end of the video, though, at the end of the meditation, I let you in on that little secret, that light that you were bringing in was your true higher self. Now, the long-term process of staying connected, of repeatedly connecting to the higher self, results in that self descending, so to speak, back into the body. And eventually, there is no upper orb. It is simply emanating from the heart, so that big, beautiful ball of light is surrounding your body. It's extending out from your heart in all directions, in what I call the heart sphere of light. Now, of course, that takes practice. That takes a lot of clearing as well to remove the imposed belief systems in our own smallness and non-divinity. So that's step one. That's the most foundational aspect of any form of esoteric wisdom or spiritual practice, is to know thyself. And you have to embody yourself to know yourself. You have to have your true self seated in its proper position at the core of your being, at your heart center. Now, getting back to the self-clearing system on Ascension Help, after the higher self meditation, we move into what I call the cosmic flush, which involves connecting your awareness to the center of the galaxy. Now, that connection is always present, but we are not always aware of it. So we need to become aware of that connection. We need to engage that connection and expand the amount of energy flowing through it. And so by receiving then a boost of energy from the core of the galaxy and then conducting it into the core of the planet by grounding it into the planetary core, we give ourselves more energy to utilize. We also are to break apart the illusory matrix of the false light and dark by bringing in true organic light from the galactic core. Now, this is a somewhat advanced process. And for those who aren't comfortable with that, I recommend connecting to the sun and bringing that sun energy through you and into the core of the planet. Because that is a really basic thing. And unfortunately, when I was first producing these videos, I kind of assumed that whoever would resonate with it would already know about connecting to the planet and connecting to the sun. So I chose to focus on the things that seem to be underrepresented, which is embodying your higher self and being a galactic conduit. So don't think that I left that out on purpose, as to try to hide anything. I kind of just assumed, unfortunately, that would already be present, that anyone who resonated with my work would already have been doing that. So that was a bit of an oversight on my part, partially due to, like I said, the time frame that I had to put it out. So I do correct that in level 2 of the self-clearing system, where there's a more direct focus on connecting into the core of Mother Earth, having that connection nice and strong. Now, back to the self-clearing system. The step after that is to minimize the ego. Now, we're not killing the ego. We're not getting rid of it. We are putting it in its place. The ego's proper role is to be a little guidance system for navigating physical reality. Its proper role is to help you also defend your sovereign space. The ego is there as a servant. It should not be running the show. It should not be constantly streaming a never-ending flow of thoughts through your mind. You should be able to think into the deeper parts of yourself. You should be able to tap into your subconscious mind. You should be able to tap into your divine inner self or your higher self. You should be able to think from those other levels of your being at will. So that can only happen when the ego is properly minimized, when it's sitting quietly, waiting for a moment where it's appropriate to remind you of something. Like, for example, if you are running errands, the ego is very helpful for reminding you to get the things that you need to get while you're running those errands. Or if you're hiking in the woods, the ego is good for letting you know that you should bring along your bear spray in case you run into a bear that you can use that to affect an escape. You know, it's the little things. That's what the ego is really all about, is the little things. Now, the problem, the distortion, is that the ego ends up doing all of the thinking, gets completely fixated on all of the trappings of physical reality, of all of the possessions and affectations that one can put upon themselves to raise their status in the eyes of others, and it becomes a completely status-oriented, out-of-control little monster. So we put that ego in its place. And that's actually that video is the what I call the dividing line. People at that point, some of them tend to just never come back. They don't go on to the next step. They didn't like that whole thing of the minimizing the ego. That ego piped up and said, "What is this craziness? All right, get out of here. This is nonsense."
Yeah.
Now, you know, and it's important though not to vilify the ego. It's a useful tool, but it's become distorted. It's just to identify the distortions and to go beyond them. I'm not at all an advocate for being egoless, because that can lead to being easily manipulated. The ego is necessary, but it needs to be emulating your higher self or your divine inner self. The ego needs to formulate itself as a reflection of your true self, not as a reflection of a distorted society that we currently live in.
Yes.
So moving on from the ego minimizer, we get into refunding of projected energies. Now, this is, of course, a vast subject, because we are having a daily bombardment of energies projected onto us from media, from friends and family, from coworkers. There's projections coming from all over the place. But in order to be energetically sovereign, we need to give back the projections that are not ours. We need to give back those energies that have been put on us so that we can actually discover what is really us versus what is a projection from an external source. We have to be able to discern those two things. So the energy refund sends back to whoever has projected it, whatever energies that they have projected onto you. So if there's judgment coming from an ex-lover, let's say, then that will be refunded back to their higher self. And that's an important aspect of it. We're not sending it from the ego mind to the other person's ego mind, because that will just generate a form of psychic warfare. Rather, we're gently and lovingly refunding that energy back to the higher self of whoever has projected that stuff. Beautiful. In our next step, we reclaim everything that we have been projecting out. This is also a hard one at first for people. We have to take responsibility for what we have put out and projected out. And when we take responsibility for that energy, when we take it back, this is the, now, there's two halves of the energy refund. You give back what's been put on you, and you take back what you have put out. And when you take responsibility for that energy, you can then transmute it back into pure, unformatted energetic frequency and have it available to you as a creative potential to do something new, to create something new. And in this way, we begin to free ourselves from that constant back and forth of feeling judged and projecting judgment back onto others. Right? That's the general knee-jerk response when we feel someone judging us, is that we judge them. We project back onto them a different form of judgment, or even more judgment. So by breaking free of that, then we can actually look at what is going on in our psyche. And we can then begin reclaiming the energy that we have given to false beliefs, attitudes, perceptions, identities, etc. So that process of reclaiming energy, reclaiming power, that's what follows as the next step. And that's a process. That's a seemingly never-ending process. It's a very long experience. It's something that needs to be done on a daily basis. The process of peeling away the layers of illusions, the illusory layers of separation from source, of belief in self-limitation, these have to be peeled away on a daily basis. I often get asked, well, why can't I just do it all at once? And the answer to that is because you probably die. We have invested so much energy into forming an identity, a concept of ourselves around the beliefs that we have been instilled with, that if we pulled them all at once, there would be no, let's say, no solid ground to stand on to reformulate ourselves. Wow. It would be a truly traumatic experience. But when you do it a little bit at a time, right? That's that old proverb or metaphor of how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? Right? It's a massive undertaking. You can't just do it all at once. You've got to do it one bite at a time, one day at a time. And you just make it a part of your lifestyle. You make it a part of your daily process that in the morning, when you wake up, you do a bit of clearing. In the evening, before you go to bed, you do a bit of clearing. Somewhere in the middle of the day, you do a little bit of clearing. And 3 15-minute sessions or so, in general, on most days, will suffice. Now, so that is then level one of the self-clearing system. I did endeavor to make it as complete and self-contained as possible. And later on, I made a level two, and I'm currently working on a level three that is spiraling out of control into a massive undertaking. So I will most likely have to chunk it down. I'm still working on how to put that into a digestible form.
And this is all completely free on your website.
All of level one is. I do charge for level two. I also have a morning, noon, and night self-clearing system that is based on level one. You don't have to have level two for the morning, noon, and night, although I do recommend it. And those were significant undertakings requiring a lot of production value, so I do charge a nominal fee for those.
Well, absolutely. I don't think there's anything wrong with that whatsoever. I think it's incredible you offer all that you do offer completely free of charge.
Yes, I do endeavor to give away as much as I possibly can. I would make it all free if I had no matrix bills to worry about. Yeah. But, you know, like everyone else, I am subject to this system. I have been, of course, brought up in it, and I still have to live in it. So I make the decisions to charge for the things that need to be charged for. And of course I charge for sessions, because that is a very intense process of deep focus, and energetic clearing.
And how would they arrange a session with you if somebody wanted a session, Cameron?
There is a form on my site to book a session. I am here as of this recording on November 2nd, currently booking into January. In order to give the highest quality of a session, I can't just stack them up one after them after another in a day. The most I will do is one a day, and very rarely will I do two in a day, and I space them several hours apart if that is necessary, because I do need to be completely focused. My energy levels need to be quite high and alert. My focus has to be very keen on that person, on their higher self, and on the energies that need to be cleared.
Yes, we're going to go to break in just a few seconds here, and then we will be back with our concluding half hour section. And I don't know if you want to dive into level two or go into anything further in terms of what you offer at that point, or we'll break down more of the bigger view of the construct. But we'll just let it flow and follow our own attunement to our greater self, and we'll see what happens next. Stay with us. This is Sienna Leah with Cameron Day on Illuminating the Shadowland.
When I first saw the president speak in 2008 in a YouTube clip posted to my Facebook page, I knew he was going to be right all the time. So I support World War III and IV and any moon war the president may want to start.
I mean, there is no way that he or the cabal of corporate interests, spy agencies, and shadow bankers that tell him what to do would ever mislead us.
The $1.6 trillion that we raise will help create a war that truly puts the liberal in neoliberal. There will be thousands of organic grass-fed bombs, hybrid Prius tanks, rockets controlled by iPads, and drones that play the Lumineers while they attack.
So please, help us reach our goal of $1.6 trillion so we can make World War III a reality. Why? Because Obama.
Because Obama.
Now that big business has finally discovered the preparedness market, it becomes difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, with the best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and much, much more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. And don't forget to look for the deal of the day. Unique and affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. And get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. For emergency preparedness, food independence, and self-reliance, visit MyPatriotSupply.com. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare at MyPatriotSupply.com.
So, you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear? Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio, right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRN, worldwide.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Sienna Lea, and I am here with Cameron Day, a remarkably clear, dedicated, wonderful gentleman that I am so delighted to be able to share with each and every one of you. Cameron, welcome back.
Thanks, Sienna.
Final half hour. Let's touch a bit on to your level two healing that we were talking about, and then maybe we can dive into some big picture solutions.
Sure. So level two of the self-clearing system is divided into two 30-minute segments. And in the first one, it's essentially a review and a slight expansion of the level one process, condensed down with a few add-ons. And it's structured in that way so as to deepen your understanding of that basic process. And then prepare you to go into the second half of level two, where we get into some very deep self-clearing techniques, going deep into the subconscious to clear out frozen emotions that have been stored there, and essentially to deepen and further facilitate the process of self-clearing. Now, the majority of people who do level one for a bit, and again, that's all free, and who then use level two, can go from there and handle the majority of their own self-clearing needs. And that really is my goal as I produce these various levels, is to empower everyone to do this work for themselves, to empower everyone to be as deeply embodying their true divine inner self as possible. It's not about me at all. I didn't invent these techniques. These are universal truths that I have simply accessed and put into a hopefully easily digestible and accessible form.
Beautiful. Now, when we talk about how this is actually going to eventuate, there is one of my deepest passions is in studying community building techniques. I have the sense that it is really going to take some mutual support. Not that we can't do this on our own, because everybody does do it on their own, fundamentally. But that when we are constantly being bombarded by the negative demiurge, the artificial construct, it tends to keep putting us back into old patterns, even if we're working very hard to bail ourselves out of them. What is your feeling about the community building movement? I know there's a lot of talk about it. My experience actually has been that almost every community project has failed. And I believe that they will continue to fail unless they are based at the core on individuals gathering around, for example, doing things like these exercises. But the two together could actually be a very important duo that we may to manifest for this change to really occur. What is your feeling about that?
I agree in principle, yes, although I don't think it has to be these techniques. What it does need to be, though, is that all of the individuals within the community need to be working on their own sovereignty, on their own energetic liberation from the matrix of the demiurgic control grid. Now, whatever techniques that they want to use to do that, the technique itself is less important than the desire and the intent to be a sovereign, to live as a sovereign. And then you have a community of people who all recognize their own sovereignty and the sovereignty of each other person within that community. And they work together based on that sovereignty. So they are then cooperating with the awareness that they are interconnected, yet sovereign, and all also connected to infinite source. Now, a key aspect of that is that you then will form a non-hierarchical organization. See, hierarchy is a demiurgic concept. In the free universe, hierarchy is shunned. It is seen as something to avoid whenever possible. And if a hierarchy must be implemented, it's only done so on a temporary basis in order to achieve a certain goal. And then once that goal is achieved, that hierarchy is dissolved and a return to a unilevel organization is put in place. So unilevel means that every person has an equal say, every person has equal sway on how the community will move forward. Now, obviously, a shared vision is necessary. And if a person, for example, is set on, let's say, cultivating their food in a way that is out of alignment with nature, perhaps they want to use some of the more institutionalized pesticide-oriented techniques, and everyone else wants to be as organic and permaculture-oriented as possible, then that needs to be worked out among everyone equally. You can't just have a controlling group who decides who stays and who goes. So any form of hierarchy must be actively dissolved whenever possible and only resorted to when absolutely necessary, when no other way of getting the particular job done in a unilevel organization can be figured out. So with those guiding principles that each person is on their own journey of becoming or returning to their sovereignty, engaging their awareness of the sovereignty that was really always there, and that they are working as sovereigns for a common goal, working in a non-hierarchical, unilevel organization, that will enable these communities to then actually survive and thrive. Because it's really the carrying over of hierarchical control matrix ideas into the community, along with oftentimes a lack of self-responsibility and self-clearing for each individual, that causes those communities to fracture. Because it can be very easy to fall into an idea of complacency where an individual thinks, well, I've done a lot of work on myself, so I'm not the problem here. And I'm here to tell you that, again, there's no such thing as perfection in this universe. This universe is an ongoing, expansive, creative project where beings continually do new things and create new ways of expressing themselves. So there is no perfection, and there is no such thing as being done with working on oneself. There is no such thing as being finished with going deeper into self-knowledge, knowledge of natural systems, knowledge of interpersonal relationships. There is no shortage also of imprinting from the matrix that interferes with that. So we have to all be diligently removing our limitations, our blind spots, removing our programming so that we can actually function in a non-hierarchical system.
Exactly. Do you feel that that partly that's a person with radical self-responsibility working in isolation on their own? And is there a component of mutual support, of care, of connectedness that is organically vital to the process? What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's not about just individuals each doing their own thing, although there absolutely has to be room for that within a community. But as far as community-oriented goals, those need to be done with full participation from everyone within the community so that no one's needs are neglected and no single agenda or let's say no single person's agenda trumps the needs of the others. And of course, that's what this so-called society that we exist in is based upon, right? It's based on capitalism, where one person's needs can trump the needs of the other, where one person can dominate another, can own the productivity of another. Whereas in a true community, whatever is built communally is communal property. Now, that doesn't mean that there are no possessions or that, you know, people get afraid when they hear things like community property. They think of communism, right? But communism as we know it in this world was simply another form of authoritarian control. It had nothing to do with actual community. It was a hierarchical control system. So in a non-hierarchical community, all community projects, all things that people contribute to, where there's multiple people in contribution, then belong to everyone. Now, if an individual builds something for themselves that they want to keep for themselves, then that's fine, right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with some private property. But again, in a true community, the things that multiple people work on belong to everyone. Now, the things you do all by yourself, that can belong to you, right? So let's say you paint a painting and you want to hang that painting in your home. Well, obviously, that's. I mean, you know, it almost sounds ridiculous to even say. Of course, that's your painting that you get to keep, right? It's not about taking away the labor of an individual. It's rather about understanding what is community creation versus what is an individual creation.
Well, this would be a very, very different world. Do you feel that from what you see that something like this could happen, for example, in the United States under the current political situation?
I do. And in fact, I see pockets of it already forming. Like you said, there have been many attempts that have failed, but every failure is a learning opportunity. Every so-called failure is a lesson in how to not do something, where you learn, okay, this way didn't work. Let's try something else. Let's take what we've learned from that and build something new and better from it. So I do see it happening really all over the world in little pockets where people simply band together. They understand that hierarchy is an issue. They understand that interpersonal relationships will be strained by the baggage of unhealed traumas, unhealed woundings, unresolved programming from the matrix, and that each individual is responsible for their own self-healing. That's a key aspect of it. No one else can heal you for you. Some people can facilitate your process. They can help to boost your self-healing. They can help to facilitate a deeper clearing in order for you to then gain more of your own sovereign power so that eventually you will be self-sufficient, self-sustaining within your clearing process and ultimately a catalyst to help others in the future.
Beautiful. It does feel that this is the next step for a solution. And what else do you see for big picture solutions right now? Or are these small communities at the core of your vision of what it is that we can do to heal from all of these years of domination and hierarchy and on and on and on and on? Horse show.
I do see a wide variety of solutions. Now, another important solution is going to be power generation as far as electricity goes. Each individual or each home or family needs to be able to generate their own electricity, their own power. So solutions, of course, already exist, although they have been marginalized and still remain somewhat expensive. But breakthroughs are occurring on a regular basis in regards to energy generation. There are solar breakthroughs. There are battery technology breakthroughs that are attempting to come into the market. Of course, the market system itself opposes any and all such innovations because the market is fundamentally based on oil economy.
Right.
So we have to break that petro stranglehold on the economy. We have to essentially operate outside of the market to generate these solutions. Now, people have been inventing, or I should say, building their own solar panels based on designs. And so that trend definitely needs to continue. Wind generation also is an important factor for people like myself that live in the Pacific Northwest, where on days like today, it's very cloudy, but extremely windy. So harvesting of wind power along with solar power, battery and inverter technology needs to be advanced as well. So these basic advancements in generating of personal electricity are a big part of shifting the paradigm. Because as long as we're dependent again on an outside source for our electricity, then we can be controlled. We can be manipulated. But when we are all generating our own power, when every available inch of roof is covered in solar panels and every tall spot on a building has a wind turbine on it, when we're all, when we are all power producers, that is going to mark a significant shift towards true freedom. Because then at that point, we can begin shifting our transportation to electric vehicles. And in that way, we will break the petrol monopoly that we currently labor under. And then from there, we move into advancements such as 3D printing, where we can print a variety of tools and necessary objects for the home, things that one would normally go out and buy from a store, can actually be printed with a 3D printer. Now, this technology is admittedly still in its infancy, but it is evolving very quickly. And at a certain point in its evolution process, it will go from printing with plastic to printing with what we would call nanocarbon or extremely small scale carbon printing. Now that's many generations down the road. I am jumping ahead a little bit, but I am very excited about the prospect of 3D printing and the point where we reach the ability to print with nanocarbon will represent a quantum leap forward for the planet. Because at that point now, the 3D printers can fully print another 3D printer, for example. And some of them already do that to an extent. They print many of the parts that they need to build a new one, but they're not 100% there yet. But when you can print from the nanocarbon scale, you can essentially print something that is as hard or harder than a diamond, that is virtually indestructible. So, for example, if you wanted a kitchen knife, you could print a kitchen knife where the edge of the knife is maybe just a few nanometers thick, far thinner than a strand of hair. So that knife will always be sharp. It will never dull. So that's one example. And at that point, of course, the consumer economy will cease to function, because if you can print all of your own products, or at least the majority of your own products, then you don't need Amazon or Walmart or even a hardware store. The only items that will even be marketable will be handcrafted items. And there will always be desire for handcrafted things. There's a certain beauty, a certain character to handcrafted items. But when it comes to tools, when it comes to the things that you need to simply live your life, you don't necessarily need it to be handcrafted. You might want that. That might be a desire at some point, but you know, you can print your basic kitchen knife set. And then if you really want to have that very special handmade knife with the wooden inlaid handles and all of that, then you can have a market for that as well. But 3D printing with nanocarbon, it's many generations of 3D printers away. But when it hits, when it goes mainstream, that's when human freedom goes parabolic. Because at that point, you can also then print your own solar panels. You can print even batteries. Literally, the possibilities are endless at that point.
That feels fantastic.
Yes, it will be fantastic. And so the future for humanity is actually quite bright. The desire for freedom and sovereignty is growing every day. And with everyone listening and everyone who's doing it spontaneously on their own, as we all become more sovereign, we energetically give permission to others to become more sovereign. We show them through simply living as sovereign as we can be. And by sovereign, I don't necessarily mean that you live in the woods and you grow all of your own food. That's one version of sovereignty, but I'm also talking about energetic sovereignty, where you are no longer a slave, where you recognize no master or authority over you, where you recognize that you are an extension of the divine source, that you do not have to grovel before any wrathful, vengeful, punishing god or overlord on any level of your life, and that you live from that place of sovereignty. And other people will pick up on that. They will feel it. It might irritate them. Why are you so free? Why are you so happy? How come you're not a slave like me? But that irritation is necessary. Those slaves need to be freed. They need to realize that they can never truly be a slave, but that their mind has enslaved them. They have allowed themselves to believe that they must submit to authority outside of themselves. So by living as free beings, as freeing ourselves, we then help others to free themselves, even indirectly.
Beautifully stated, Cameron. And this is happening all around the globe, isn't it? More and more. In the midst of everything as dismal as it seems to look, as the agendas for more control keep dangling their Halloween masks at us to scare us to death. It really does seem that with all the galactic alignments that started in 2012, with the new energy that is pouring in, with a massive amount of solar radiation coming in, that we have infinite source supporting us right now. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The organic light is coming in, and it's up to us to simply open up to it, to align with it. It's inside of us, right? We have to unleash that inner light, that true organic light. And we have tremendous support from infinite source. We have infinite support. Now, the infinite source will not do our work for us. No being can truly do our work for us. And by that, I mean our inner work. We have to do that for ourselves, but we have tremendous support in doing so, both from infinite source as well as the beings from the free universe, the response team to the demiurge called the forces of divine source light. We have tremendous support so that when we begin to take action, that we have these beings who are helping us to get to our destination. They're encouraging us. They are giving us energetic boosts when we need it. They are truly, they are the true definition of what we would think of as angelic, but they will never, ever, ever call themselves that, nor will they ever permit you to worship them in any way, because they recognize that we all are from the same source.
We have about 2 minutes left. Perhaps it would be good to give out your information once again and how people can get hold of you, take your courses, arrange private sessions, and this sort of thing.
Sure. So the website, again, is ascensionhelp.com. That's ascensionhelp.com. The self-clearing system, level 1, is completely free. After you have Worked with level one a few times. You can go ahead and move into level two, as well as the morning, noon, and night self-clearing system. There is a blog also on the website with tons of content. My articles tend to be extremely long, so when you want to read something long and deep, just head over to the blog. There's plenty of material there. I also have started doing mini blogs where I keep the typed content as brief and short as possible. Those have been quite popular because we're all quite busy. So sometimes you maybe just want a little snack size bit of info. I also have a brainwave entrainment product called Genius Brain Power. Now, brainwave entrainment is a very important technology, and it can be used against us. In fact, it is being used against us, but we can also utilize it for ourselves in order to take control of our brainwave frequencies and deepen our ability to meditate.
Yes, right out of time. Go check all of this out, people. This is such an incredibly generous man with so much to share. Thank you so much, Cameron. What an amazing gift that you bring to us all. I've absolutely enjoyed this time with you. Blessings, everyone. Blessings unto yourself.
Thank you, Sina. Have a good night.